you treat me like a little brother, right? And like, when I say I want to go with this special forces mission, that's probably, you know, a 50% return rate, and I'm raising my hand, and you just lean over and just put my hand down, like, no, you're not going. That really happened, folks. We were in Afghanistan. SF came, and they're like, we need an extra medic. And I was like, ooh, me. And Ferg was like, put your hand down. You ain't going nowhere. So.
But you know your dad, that was one of the things he said, like, last thing he said to me before, like, make sure he comes back. What up, what up, what up, what up? It's Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast. I'm Tavares Ferguson, a.k.a. Ferg, everybody's favorite bad guy. Join my co-hosts, Buff and Rozzy. Fellas, what it do?
This ain't Texas, but I don't know if y'all have listened to all of Cowboy Carter, but Beyonce did it with this one. I ain't even gonna lie. I might have accidentally joined the Beehive or whatever, because I was rolling to it. Like, I was riding, I was bumping it. I was like, oh, this thing go hard. Like, she has some songs on there, bro. Like, I had to run it back a couple times. Like, I've listened to that album probably 3 times total already. And I'm probably not alone, because Beyonce at one point held the top 26 spots on the country music hip hop or the country music charts. That's how crazy it was. Like, she is.
Damn, album ain't got but 27 songs, right?
Exactly. So people were, they were doing exactly what I did, and they just let the whole album ride, man. It is good. It is really, really good. So I'm excited for her, man. I'm excited that a new generation or a lot of kids that don't know that country music, one, originated with black people, like almost all music categories or genres. But on top of that, they're getting kind of an appreciation, and it is opening up some doors. When you talk about like listening to some of the other country artists out there, I talked about Chapel Hart and how they were having problems breaking in. She's doing a lot for it. This album's doing a lot to bring new listeners in to country music, but at the same time expand country music. And it really does have a big kind of hip hop pop feel to it. It's, people were talking about, they didn't like it because it sounded just like Beyonce for the most part, with just a little bit of country themes. But I mean, it's no different than what Taylor Swift does when she does country albums. So I'm totally okay with it. I like the album. I don't know if you guys have heard it, but I would recommend go listening to it. So that's the only thing I got.
I don't know if I mentioned it last week, but I was going to say the people that are featured on her album have experienced like a 400% increase on their streams on Spotify. So that's pretty cool too.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And it's kind of cool. She did a lot of stuff. Like, she gave, who did Jolene? What was her name?
Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton. She gave Dolly Parton soul writing credit on it. So she didn't, even though she remixed it a little bit, she didn't even take writing credit. So Dolly Parton is getting 100% of royalties or writing royalties from the song. So just that, like, she really paid homage. And it's just fun to listen to the folks who want to kind of talk about how country is pure country, and she's not country, but she's a black girl from Houston, Texas. Country girl, I mean, when you really think about it, raised there, but she's not country. And you got, you know, they let people come from Australia to sing country music, and that's okay. So, and I don't know what, you know, the difference is, but
she's black, Rozzy.
I'm gonna say, because my man that sung Try That in a Small Town, he's cosplaying.
Yeah,
he's like literally from a big town, a big city.
Mm-hmm.
But he's cosplaying as a country singer.
Yeah, man. So I'm excited for it, man. The only other thing I had is, I don't know if you guys have seen, but the trailer for Clipped. Let me see the full name of it. It says Clipped, the scandalous story of the LA's other basketball team. So that's coming out on my birthday on 6/4. So I'm going to be watching that, because I want to see how the Clippers came to be, and you know, how LA got two basketball teams and Alabama can't get none. Kind of mad about that. But either way, it looks pretty good. It looks cool. So I'll be checking that out. So be on the lookout for that, man. That's all I got.
Okay. Good stuff. What do I have? So I'm going to be focusing a lot of attention on Florida right now. So we saw DeSantis try his hand at running for president. And you notice he kind of took on the whole, I'm here to fight wokeness and all things woke. And it didn't work out for him. The people said they want Waldo. They don't want you, no matter how much you fight against wokeness or anything. And so now you see, now that he's no longer in the running for president, he's come out. He's dropped his beef with Disney. It seems like they've kind of let go the little beef between the state and Disney. And his whole allowing people to object and ban certain books in schools, he's admitted that, hey, you know what? That one might have been a mistake. So he's like, he's already kind of doing like a 180 since he's no longer in the running for president. And sticking with Florida, man, they have now a 6-week ban that goes in effect May 1st for abortion. We've talked about abortion a lot on this show and how the Democrats can use that to possibly propel Biden to a second term. But Florida became one of the strictest states against abortion, to where after 6 weeks, you can't get one. And a lot of women have pushed back and said, hey, there are a lot of women that don't even know they're pregnant until about the 5th or 6th week. And so you look at where Florida's located next to Alabama, who has strict, who pretty much, you can't get an abortion in Alabama. Like, they were saying that someone that lives in South Florida, the closest place they could go is somewhere like Charlotte, North Carolina, in order to get an abortion. So again, we talked about this a little bit last week, whether it's because they care about life or whether it's because they just want to control women. The fact of the matter is women and their bodies are being legislated, and Florida is the latest example of that. The only other thing I got, man, is look, I didn't want to say anything until a good 2 to 3 weeks of consistency, but people, we are active now. We active. We've always been active on Facebook and Instagram, but we active on YouTube and TikTok now. So make sure you follow us. YouTube, Three Brothers No Sense. TikTok, Three Brothers No Sense. And you get to see, like a lot of times we have inside jokes when one of us make a comment and the other two laugh silently. We're posting videos now. You get to share in on the inside joke. You get to share in when Rizzy tells a bad joke and Ferg and I turn our head. You know what I mean? So check us out, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We active. Follow us on all platforms. Check us out. Each platforms give you a little something different. That's all I got, man.
So Byron, I'm looking at the map right now. You're correct. If Florida becomes one of the states that's just saying, hey, we're banning at conception or after 6 weeks, the closest state is North Carolina, which allows abortions up to 12 to 13 weeks. I don't want to be here. It's just proud of myself. I didn't say anything when Razi was talking about being part of the Beehive. So, you know, you know, at this point.
Again, you could have saw his facial expressions, though, people. That's why you want to follow TikTok.
And but no, you're right. YouTube. I actually had one of our friends hit me up saying, "Oh, y'all on YouTube now? Like y'all fancy?" Like she, I'm like, "Yeah, yeah, we be there. We're doing it. We're tubers or YouTubers or whatever we're supposed to be called." So good job, congratulations, Rizzy. I knew you had it in you to become part of the Beehive. It was just a matter of time. So a couple of things. One, I'm late to the game, Rizzy, and I feel like you mentioned this before, but My Hero Academia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, bro. Yeah.
Yeah.
Deku is the truth.
Yeah. I mean, I just finished season one, and I'm like, okay, I like where this is going. It's not, you know, the thing about anime for me is sometimes it just becomes too over the top, and the characters are just too anime-ish, you know, like it's just like, okay, I can't do this anymore. The characters aren't over the top. The animation is pretty good. So I'm a fan, you know. It's up there. I'm only in finished season one, and I'm like, and I'm pretty sure it's only going to get better from here. I know they picked up season seven. So I have a lot to catch up with.
Yeah, definitely. If you're looking for a new anime, Solo Leveling, it's only 13 episodes, just came out. They just finished the first season. It is chef's kiss. It is so good. So for any of the anime fans out there, go check out Solo Leveling.
I'm surprised nobody mentioned the, you know, March Madness and all the things that have transpired over the last week with especially women's basketball, who have completely taken over college basketball. And I can't believe I'm about to say this. Shout out to Alabama. Hard fought games. I'm proud of you guys. Making it to the Final Four was huge. I wish you could have took it to the next level. But I'm happy to see where women's basketball has gone in the last couple of years. Excited to see where it might go. Not getting my hopes up too high. Just because I want to see how this transition with all these stars to the WNBA really works. I'm hoping for the best, but not, and I don't even know what success looks like, right? You know, is it Rizzi wearing a Caitlin Clark jersey? What does success look like when with the WNBA moving forward? You know, this is probably their best chance to make a push, and I don't even know what that looks like. Is it just people watching more games, talking about it more? So love to hear what you guys think about that.
I definitely think it's watching more games, and there's Caitlin and Angel Reese. Angel Reese declared that she is going to the WNBA. So she's going to be on there. And we can't forget about like South Carolina. They've got a bunch of stars going.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the game's on right now, actually. So as we record, Iowa and South Carolina are playing for the women's national championship. So, it's wild. And I don't watch a whole lot of basketball. I'm not even going to lie. I think I've talked about it on here. I watch basketball when the finals come, and then March Madness. That's really the only time I watch basketball. And I don't watch a lot of the men's, but this time I've found myself like I'm watching all the women's games and I'm excited. And so I really think, when you talk about like Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, it's the Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, where they're both entering the draft and going into the league at the same time. And I don't want to say save the WNBA, but just like Bird and Magic came and they brought that energy to it. You know, we can't talk about, we can't ignore Jerry Buss and what he did with the Lakers and how he made basketball cool. So they've got that recipe already. But now you have these big stars coming in at the same time. I think it's going to be big for the sport. The games are just as interesting, if not more interesting. So we just got to see, does it translate into the WNBA? Because truthfully, a lot of people have talked about the NBA as it's getting a little bit boring. They're not what they say. They don't play defense anymore, even though I think that's a myth. But, you know, you don't see a lot of defense. You see all these high flying acrobatics and, you know, everybody just pulling up threes wherever. I think you get a lot more technical respect out of the women. And so I think the sport's going to get a big lift, and it's going to be a more viewership. I don't know if I'm going to be wearing a Caitlin Clark jersey, but I definitely can see my daughter wanting a Caitlin Clark jersey, right? Or Angel Reese jersey and those types of things, where she's watching the games now and she's probably going to end up watching them as they move into the WNBA. So I think that's a little bit of it.
That's what I'm saying, Raza. I think the viewership is going to go up. I don't know if it's going to be sustainable. I think this is time for the current WNBA stars, who are superstars in their own right, who have gone under the radar and not appreciated as much until now. They have to bring their A game for the next couple of seasons. They're going to have to maximize and keep the sustainability, because it's not tuning into a Caitlin Clark or an Angel Reese or any of these other superstar games is probably not going to be enough if everybody else isn't, they don't have the backup, you know. because like Angel Reese, I mean, Caitlin Clark had a, what would be considered a mediocre game this past weekend in the Final Four, you know, and if she only scores, and imagine we're saying she only scores 20 points, that's underwhelming for her, right? People want to see her go up and light up the charts. And I'm just saying that because, you know, let's be honest, for a lot of people, she is the bad guy. But everybody loves a good bad guy. And Angel Reese, what does that look like? If she's putting up, you know, 15, 18 points, you know, 8-9 boards and stuff like that, is that enough to keep the viewership? But if that causes Sophie to want a Angel Reese jersey, because I won't buy her a Caitlin Clark jersey, but I will buy her Angel Reese jersey or something like that. What does that look like, right? And I'm not even trying to get in a pissing contest, but I feel like that might open up another can of worms. And it's just like, yeah, we'll support it when it's time. You know, just like Rizzy said, he watches the NBA during the finals. He watches, I'm going to be honest, I didn't watch any real college basketball until recently. Yeah, until, you know, March Madness. So
I share your skepticism too, because like they're hailing the Iowa LSU game. It had 12 million viewers, peaked at 16 million. But it's really like a Caitlin Clark driven thing.
Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese. I give them combined now.
It's the rivalry there.
Yeah. It wouldn't. I don't think it would have mattered who they played. People are enjoying Caitlin Clark. They enjoy seeing a white girl dominating what's perceived to be a black sport, even though there are a lot more white athletes in women's basketball than there are in the NBA. Basketball in general is considered a black sport. So to have this white woman pretty much dominate. I think she just scored 18 points in the first quarter. This championship
she's dominating. Yes, it's not pretty much. She's dominating. Call it what it is.
So it's you know, it brings a white audience. And I'm sure this game has high ratings as well, just like last year had high ratings because it's Caitlin Clark. Now let's see if it'll make people interested in the Juju's and the Flages and some of these other players that Stokies, are on some of these teams.
Yeah,
next year. Let's see if that translates. And like Ferry was talking about the WNBA, let's see if it translates. Because if you guys are saying that Angel Reese drives it too, we need her to be on a good team. We need Clark to be on a good team. Because the comparison we keep hearing is Bird and Magic. They both went to historically good teams and they were good that year. Magic wound up winning the championship that year. So I'm hopeful. But for me, you know, as I've always said, I don't want to speak for all men, but for me, I want to just say women's sports. I support sports when it's good. And a lot of women's sports were not good to me. This year, it's been good. Mm-hmm. When people have said men don't support women's sports, that's not true. Women's tennis dominates. Women's track and field in the Olympics. Because it's good. So once it's good, it attracts a larger audience.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. And like I said, I'm hoping for the best. And the question is, what does good look like? You know, do they all of a sudden want in the next 2 to 3 years for Caitlin to begin paid the same thing as LeBron? Like, you know, the biggest thing was a pay disparity and the fact that, you know, it's a numbers game. And so is it more attention? Is it more respect? What does success look like for WNBA? And women's basketball moving forward.
I definitely would say consistent, well attended games.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's their ultimate. I mean, eyes on, right? Views. So if you can get people in the seat, and if you can get people watching, and they did a perfect thing. I remember at first when they did the WNBA, I think it was at the same time as or right after the NBA season.
Right after.
And they switched it now, so it's in the summer now. So it's a little bit of space between it. And so that's one thing that I think makes a lot of sense, is that they're not trying to overlap it or anything like that. They have their own space. And it's a slow space for sports in general, is another thing. So it's a good time for them to be on, and people can attend, and people are outside and everything. So to your point, Buff, I think that's it. It's if you can get cheeks in a seat, if you can get people watching, All the other things come, right? We already, they talk about the pay disparity, blah, 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 blah. The thing is, the WNBA isn't making money. So from a finance guy's perspective, I'm looking at it as they're making what they should be making, right? With the money that is there based on their league. Like the NBA is actually subsidizing them to even be able to make the money that they are making right now. So if you look at a percentage of revenue that they bring in, they're making really, really well compared to the NBA. And I think that's what happens is if you get eyes on, if you get more people watching, you get more sponsors, they're making more money as a league, then the pay will come after that. That's how it should work. It shouldn't be, we're going to pay them millions of dollars and hope that they can get cheeks in the seats. So ultimately, they got to decide, do I make $150,000, $200,000, and then try to go get some endorsements? Because that's really where they make a lot of their money today. Just like in the NCAA, right? In college. Right now, NIL is there. I think that's really what it is. It's like Angel Reese is going to keep all of her endorsements when she leaves LSU, right? Caitlin Clark is going to keep all of her endorsements as she leaves Iowa. I think that's where it is. They're still going to be making millions of dollars even though they go to the WNBA. So they just have to lean into that and then go from there.
Yeah, so I think NIL might help women's sports the most long-term, right? If they can put things in their contract where for the, you know, couple of years after college or whatever, if they go pro, that they're still getting paid. And, you know, this has become a question now, which I really didn't want it to become. It reminds me, we go back to Bird and Magic, and I don't want to just say the rivalry of Bird and Magic is one thing, but think about the state of the NBA at that time. Very similar to the WNBA. You got to think Magic signed that colossal deal, 10 years, $1 million. And was this 82, 83? Like it was, that's where the WNBA is now, right? It's, you know, they're making $100,000, $150,000, $75,000, $80,000 a year. But if they put butts in seats, they create the excitement, they maximize on the opportunity. And I don't know what's going to take. You know, in 1980, there was no way people would think that players would be in play what they are today. Right. It was no way. You got to think in the 70s, you had people playing during the season and still working a full time job because they weren't making money, you know. And so you fast forward and it might take some years and it's going to take some superstars and the right marketing. And the good thing is you have social media where, you know, these stars can create their own followers and market themselves. I think this is the best time and the best opportunity ever for women's sports, because a regular person can go get 1 million followers, right? I'm not saying it's easy, but now when you go get 1 million followers and, you know, you can become this phenom on your own, you know, Angel Reese can create her own following. Caitlin Clark, with the right marketing, can create her own followers. She probably, I have no idea how many followers she has, but if she was really like social media savvy and wanted to be an influencer or be marketed the right way, she could have it, you know? So, all right.
That's actually NIL. Like a lot of folks don't understand. A lot of NIL comes from that. If you look at some of the highest paid NIL deals, it comes from their social media presence. So I think Caitlin and Angel, I think both of them have like 19 million followers or something like that. It's something crazy. And so that's a lot of what they couldn't, before the NIL, they couldn't actually make money off of social media. And so, because it would be considered having like an outside job. So a lot of them from that NIL is that, where they're able to do that. And then they get, you know, endorsements and stuff like that, same way any other influencers and stuff. So the following that they have on social media is a big part of their social media deals or their NIL deals.
Yeah. And what I meant by that is they can market themselves better than the WNBA can possibly, right? 20 years ago, when there was social media wasn't around and it wasn't such a big thing, it didn't matter how good you were. If, you know, Nike or the WNBA wasn't putting you up front, you can't do anything. You know, you got rappers, you got people going out there and creating their own social media platform and doing all these things that allows them to put themselves out there where their followers now become WNBA followers. You know, so they have more control, which I'm happy for. So, Buff, I know you always say screw social media. So this is one check for social media. Let's keep the party going. I think that's all I got for now. Let's go. Let's Rizzy, Sophie here.
She is. Hold on one second. Let me go grab her.
Sophia.
Hello.
Yeah.
Welcome back. We missed you.
Yeah. I missed you too.
Yeah, I mean, next time you leave like that, you gotta kind of give us a warning.
Really?
Yeah, you should give us a warning.
We had
to hear from him and jokes from him. So that was like a lot of bad news and bad jokes. Well, you know what? I'm gonna be fair. No, your dad did really good on his jokes for the change.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know.
It's an improvement.
Vast improvement. He performed well under pressure. So let's see if you can keep the Mancarella streak going.
All right. How do you make holy water? You boil the heck out of it. I can't say the other one.
Would have never got that. Would have never got that.
I had to find it on Pinterest.
That was a good one. Yeah. That was a good one. Welcome back.
I have to keep my sources for other people. Thank you.
Welcome back.
I'll stay for like the next week.
Alrighty. Welcome back, Sophie. Jeez. Yeah, Brazzy. Maybe we just missed her for so long that we forgot what a good joke sounds like.
Oh, is that what it is?
I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying maybe. I'm not quite sure.
I wore you guys down.
Yeah, you wore us down, Braz. So yeah, man, let's jump into it. And I'm surprised. I'm going to give something. Surprised we haven't really talked about politics too much or the whole Diddy fiasco. So,
not a whole lot to talk about with Diddy. I mean, until he goes on trial, I mean, it's all conjecture and we don't know. He's on the run.
He's arrested. He ain't even been arrested yet.
Yeah. So and they've got pictures of him like just riding his bike in Miami and everything. So ultimately, I don't even know if they were looking for him or not. Right? They raided his homes to get stuff, but were they going after him? Because I'm sure they could have found him by now.
Well, like I said, surprise. Let's go ahead and jump into who wants to go first.
Oh well, you went first. Buff, you want
to
go?
That
second?
Was not my. That's not the question I wanted to do.
Right. Yeah, I'll go. The show is titled Three Brothers No Sense, and we're always frequently talking about how close we are and how much love we have for one another. So I wanted to do something a little different and explicitly express that to one another. So I'm asking you two brothers to name two or three things that you love about the other two brothers, because we talk a lot about admiration for one another on this show. So what are the two or three things that stand out about the other two brothers on this show?
Ooh. I'll go first.
All right.
I'll start with you, Byron. And I think it's easy for me because it goes back to the reason when I decided to do the podcast, I selected the two of you, right? Number one is I love how you love your family. Like I really truly respect how you put, you know, your wife and daughter first, and you are intentional about making sure that they're happy and protected and understand what love looks like. And I know no marriage is perfect, no parenting thing is perfect, but you put a lot of energy into trying to make sure that they understand how you feel about them. And I think knowing you for as long as I've known you, for some people, for some of our listeners, I've known Byron since 1992. So I met you in sixth grade, right? And so I think I feel like I know you pretty well. I've seen where you come from. I've seen the little immature kid that we all were. Like, we were kids. And to see you become the man that you are, the husband that you are, the father that you are one of the first one of us to get married and stay married and really be committed to your marriage and, you know, being a father. And I was like, okay, that's what we need. We need to see more people to see that. And so kudos to you for that. And then I love how you love yourself. You really try to do self-care. You try to enjoy life. And I think in a healthy way, you know, I think a lot of people have, we can be immature and make bad decisions and enjoy life and just make, you know, but you responsibly enjoy life, you know, because I know people who live in their best life and their light's going to get cut off tomorrow. Like, you know, that's, you know, they're enjoying life and the car is going to get repossessed. We know these people, right? But it's like you treat yourself. And I think for a lot of men, in knowing, you know, as much as I talk to you about therapy and stuff like that, which I feel like, you know, everybody could benefit from a little bit. You do better than most men in self-care. Like you take time for yourself. And that's something I'm working on, is trying to improve self-care. I think a lot of men, especially Black men, we find ourselves working towards our early grave because of, you know, unhealthy living. And a big part of that is just stressful living. And I think our women are outliving us just because for whatever reason, they're able to lower that blood pressure, lower that stress level. Not saying life is easier, or it's not a pissing contest, but they find a way to decompress better than most men. You know, I even think about a guy's trip versus a girl's trip. A lot of guys' trip, we're almost killing ourselves on guys' trip, you know? You know, we're trying to see how hard we can go and how long we can last. And women are like, okay, we're going to meet at the spa from 12 to 4. And then we're going to do, you know, like it's spa. We ain't trying to do that slowness. That's 4 hours out of commission. You know, like we literally try to die, you know, on guys' trip. That's just a general consensus. Women, they find a way. And Byron, like you'll go and travel and you'll do things. You'll go to nice restaurants and you do those things. So kudos, Rozzy. I mean, what can I say?
Yeah. Hold on. Before you go to me, let me jump in for Byron.
Okay.
It might make sense. And then we can kind of swing around. So
Richard Roundry.
Buff, I echo what Ferg is saying there. 100%. I'll liken it to, I love your balance, bruh. Like you work hard, like you talked about. Sometimes you're at the Capitol for 14, 16 hours out of the day. You work hard, but you play hard. Like you're always down for the trip. And you might complain about it, but you're like, let's go. You know, we talk about you, how you got that condo in Miami, and you're trying to hide it, but you know, you're going to go to Miami. You're going to make that trip. You're going to make that time because you work so hard and everything. So you have this perfect balance that, like, for me, it's hard for me. And so I actually look to you. And so when you bring up like this fight that's coming up and I'm like, are we going? It's like, are we going? Cause you know, like that lets me kind of have an excuse or whatever to go ahead and be free and find the balance and hang with my boys. Cause I'll just go hard, you know, nose to the grindstone, raise the kids, go to work and handle the tasks. And so you find that balance there and you're really good at it. And so I lean on you for that, bro. So I know y'all talk about me like Rozzy always trying to go, but I'm like, I'm just always ready to go. And so I need you to be able to be like, yep, that's what we're doing. I'm like, all right, I'm writing a check. Let's go. And so I appreciate that. I love that about you, man. The other thing is your loyalty, man. Like you are a loyal brother. When we talk about, you know, holding Cooley down while he was, you know, locked up, like you, Wendell, right? Like you're always like, yo, we need to check on Wendell because this happened or that happened, right? Like, you are the person that's going to make sure that we are holding each other down no matter what. And you're going to call us out if we're not. And so that loyalty that you have to your friends is beyond parallel, man. And then on top of what Ferg said about you and being a family man, and I love that about you, that you treat us like family, right? And so that's why you love us like that. It's like you love your family hard, bro. And so just love that about you, man. Love everything. Love you, bro. That's really ultimately all I can say. So, all right, Ferg. Now,
let's talk about me.
Yeah.
Rizzy, what can I say that hasn't been said about you before, bro? Like, you are my dearest friend. It is what it is, right? Like, you've held me down when I can hold myself down, or even though when I needed to be held down. Like, you have been like a little big brother to me some days. Like, it's just like, you know, because I've always, you know, and it's weird I say that, because I always felt like I needed to protect you from yourself, right? Like, because you're such a nice guy. Like, you have one of the biggest hearts I've ever met. Like, you love everybody. You open up to everybody. You will extend yourself, even overextend yourself for people that I feel like sometimes don't deserve it, right? But, you know, if you ever believe in karma, you know, Rizzy, you're a perfect example of that for the most part, because even when people, you know, you'll overextend yourself, somehow good comes out of it for you. Like, good things come back to you because of who you are. And, you know, it was funny. I was thinking about, you know, I don't know if you've seen that viral video of the girl that said she went to Mexico or Jamaica with her homegirls, and homegirl went there with $135 and all this stuff. And she was just like, I've been that homegirl. I've been the person that's like, didn't have the money for whatever reason. It wasn't the plan. Something came up and company shorted me. My bank account got hacked, you know, and it's like, bro, don't worry about it. You know, it's that you've been one of the most dependable people in my life. Like, just, you know, and so personally, you've been there for me. You know, you've been a voice of reason for me when we were young. You know, now that we're older, you know, you kind of bring me back to center. So I can appreciate that. And it takes a lot to navigate me. Because I'm headstrong, but I'm also reasonable. If it makes sense, I'm gonna do it. If it doesn't make sense, it's hard for me to accept. And you've learned how to balance that. So I respect your opinion, I respect who you are and what you bring to the table. And so you are one of the rare people that I can call like my voice of reason. And then similar to Byron, you're a very loving person. Like, you know, the way you've always navigated your family, not just, you know, when Jenica was here, your wife and your kids, but like your extended family and your immediate family, your sisters and your mom and your dad. Like, I admire how you do that, and you hold them down and stuff like that. So I always looked up to that. You know, once again, when I was choosing a podcast, and, you know, black men, married men and fathers and stuff get such a bad rap, I couldn't think of any better people than the two of you to represent what that meant. Coming from similar backgrounds, we all went different directions, and yet and still we had similar values when it came to the things that I think we can all agree that matter most. You know, it's family, it's health, it's fine. It's like, it's not, we're just out here, you know, doing the wrong things. And none of us are perfect. But so I really admire you for that. Is, you know, even the way you interact with your sisters these days, like, you know, we spent Super Bowl Sunday with them, and you just have a loving and a free spirit that, once again, I feel like I have to protect sometimes, because you leave yourself vulnerable. And I'm like, bruh, you stop. You know, people are going to take advantage of you, you know, especially when you were dating, when you were young, I was like, bruh, people are going to take advantage of you. They got to reel you in. I got to meet this chick. So I think that's two. So, Byron, you want to do what we did and talk about Rizzy?
Well, I was going to see if he was going to speak on you first.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, that's cool. So, Fer, it's that you always pushing I think is the thing that I love about you. It's like, no matter what, you're going to push forward. So like you talk about the things happening, right? Like, oh, but my account got hacked or this happened or that happened. You still find a way to overcome and you push forward. And I love that you don't get down on yourself, right? Like you're like, I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to figure it out. We're going to figure it out. Like, so even when you're facing those hard things that are happening to you and those huge obstacles, man, like you might think that you get down on yourself, but really you're just like, okay, trying to figure it out, but you still stay very positive, right? I love that you are going to try to figure it out and you're not going to let it beat you down. All right. And so even when you talk about, you know, you dealt with depression last year, right? And you're like most people wouldn't be able to tell. Most people wouldn't be able to tell that you were going through that. And that's because you do keep kind of this positive, like, I'm just going to keep pushing attitude there. So I really, really love that about you, man. That same loyalty that you talk about with Buff, or I talked about with Buff, is there. But like when you talked about protecting me from myself, I think that's the thing that I really do love about you. It's like you treat me like a little brother, right? And like when I say I want to go with this special forces mission, that's probably, you know, a 50% return rate, and I'm raising my hand and you just lean over and just put my hand down like, no, you're not going. That really happened, folks. We were in Afghanistan, SF came and they're like, we need an extra medic, and I was like, ooh, me. And Ferg was like, put your hand down, you ain't going nowhere. So
but you know, your dad, that was one of the things he said, like last thing he said to me before, like, make sure he comes back. I'm like, I got you. Because he knows you. He knew you. He was like, yeah. I used to always say, that's that white Italian kicking you in your ass.
So, but no, I love that, man. That like you do. You protect me and you watch out for me, right? Like, because I will. I'll do the crazy stuff. I'm very, I don't know. It's I think things through really, really well, but I think I'm impulsive at the same time. And I'm so laid back about a lot of stuff that I'm just like, whatever. And like, you have always been like, you call me your voice of reason. You have definitely always been my voice of reason, to where it's like, no, Ryzy, you can't do that. No, that's impulsive. Like, stop, don't do that. And so I love that you've been able to keep me on the path when I was going to go crazy and go left. Right. And so folks, a lot of folks talk about how I made it and I'm doing so well and everything like that. To both of you, it's because of you guys. It's because you guys, when I had those thoughts or when I was going to go down that path, y'all just got me back on the right path. Like, nope, this ain't for you. Nah, nigga, you go here. Right. And so I love both of y'all for that. But, you know, Ferg, you've just been there doing it more often. So I think those are the biggest ones, man, that I love about you. But just ultimately, man, it's the friendship that you've shown. Right. I talk a lot about being in high school and being the kind of nerdy kid and all that stuff. And y'all just bringing me in and being like, you can be nerdy and cool at the same time. And it's all right. And like, you're going to say your little nerdy stuff and we're going to laugh at you, but can't nobody else mess with you. Right. Like y'all always protected me and everything like that. So, I just appreciate all that, man. I love y'all to death. I mean, we truly are brothers at this point. No doubt about it.
True.
Man, love it. First off, thanks for the kind words, fellas. So Ryzy, you ended with Ferg. So I'm going to start with him. And, The first thing, man, so I read this book a long time ago when I was working at TSA. So this is like 2004-ish. I read this book called The Purpose-Driven Life by Pastor Rick Warren. And one of the things he said that's always stuck with me is the most valuable thing you have is time. It's not money. You can get money back. You get material things back. You can never get your time back. And for the way he spends his time is admirable with the lamplighters and making sure that, like, you just came back from a family spring break trip. Like, you really plan your time and spend it in ways that my lazy ass is like, man, when does that dude take a break? You know what I'm saying? I admire what you do with your time and the things you do with your time. And also, man, like, you always speak on how I love my family, but you are like the epitome of black men don't cheat. So, like, I don't think any of us believe that cheating is good. But I know me and to an extent, Rise would be like, eh, okay, we kind of understand, you know, it happens sometimes. You're like, no. Your motto is everybody gotta die. Everybody gotta die. Everybody got you do not, like, you have zero tolerance for cheating. And you're one of the first people when you said that cheating affects the whole family. That was one of the things you said that just made me think, like, damn, I guess he is right. Like, it can affect the whole family. Mm-hmm. And and since that episode, I've seen and heard about stories where, you know, the family broke up and it took the family on a completely different trajectory than it would have if that nucleus of the family stayed together. And also something that I don't even know if you know this, I used to criticize you on this when I was younger, but I just felt like, so when you went out the family, you would come back, it felt like you were always trying or doing something different. Like, I remember one time you came home, you was like, yeah, I don't eat meat. And you know, like, my little young 19, 20-year-old ass was like, me, you don't eat meat? What's wrong with you? But I just feel like you're always trying to be better and figure things out. And as I've gotten older, that's okay. In fact, that's what you should do. I think Muhammad Ali said a variation of this, like, you should never be completely 100% settled with how you're living your life. You should always be striving to be better. And I think that's what you do. And that's something that I've actually taking a shit. Hell, I've tried to not eat meat a couple of times. It's hard as fuck. I load up on carbs and instead, but like, you know what I'm saying? With two parents that have passed away from cancer and reading some of the things you hear about meat and how it causes cancers, I really have, you know, made a concentrated effort to try and cut back on meat or stop eating meat. But not, I don't want to just focus on that. Just everything in general. I feel like you always are trying to make yourself better, and that's something that I really love and admire.
I appreciate that, bro. I do eat meat, by the way. Now I just don't eat pork. I don't.
Yeah,
I don't,
yeah, yeah. I know
eat
you pork.
I don't eat. You know. I agree. I do try to push. You know, Z and I were talking about this other day because she's like, she hates the cliche saying, "If you know better, you're gonna do better." I'm like, once you, I feel like if I know what I'm supposed to do, it's kind of hard for me just like to just settle. It's like, you know, mm-hmm. you know, like even talking about cheating, like cheating, but like, well, you know, you're not supposed to cheat. So like, I'm not a good person because I don't cheat. It's just like, you're not supposed to do it. Like, it's just, it's like, it's right there. Don't do it. And so, all right. To Rizzy, appreciate it, brothers. I love you guys. You know, it's good to hear. It's really good to hear. And I'm actually, this is a perfect way to, when we get to the close, I'm gonna bring it home. So
okay. All right. And for my man Rizzy, Rizzy, what did you make on the ACT? I always say 30, but I feel like it's like 32 or something.
It was a 31.
Yeah. Okay. So the listeners probably have heard this story a lot of times, and we joke with him, but I do love this about you. Like, you're so fucking smart, bro. And they say you should never be the smartest person in your circle of friends. I'm not. I ain't with Rising and Ferg, for one thing. So I can never be the smartest one in my group. And I just remember us going to the fair, and like, you was just so ho-hum about taking that ACT the next day. He's like, yeah, I got it tomorrow. I was like, damn, you still gonna hang out late? He's like, yeah, man. Yeah, I'll be good. I'm all right. And then you take the test and I made 31. What? So I've always, one of the reasons I joke about it so much is because how much I admire it so much. The other thing I love about you is I call you, you're like a Swiss Army friend. Like, you can be so many different things. You mention all the time how you're a nerd. You can be the cool nerd. You're the smart friend. You're the financial friend. You're the cool friend. Like, you're down for damn near anything. A fight, cool. A football game, let's do it. A Rick Ross concert, hey, we in there. Like, it doesn't matter. You can do all things. You're also the person that people can confide to. I know Ferguson said he's confide. Like, that's one of the reasons you're his best friend. He confides to you on different things. Like, you can be, you're pretty much, if someone was on a video game creating a friend, they would create you. They really would. I'm not exaggerating. Like, you're all things, bro. And the last thing, man, I struggled with how I was going to approach this one, but it's no secret. I think we've told you this, so I don't think it's going to catch you off guard. But some of us were worried about you when Jen passed. We was like, yo, because we look at, like, you're a few months younger than us, but for whatever reason, we treat you like like you graduated in 2005 or something. Like, we treat you like you're,
he's
like,
a little, he's really a little brother. He's a little brother.
Yeah, I'm the little brother. Yeah. I know. I really feel it.
So I remember, like, me and Sherman crying on the phone, and I was like, yo, what my little nigga gonna do? Like, what is he gonna do? You completely showed me what strength is. Like, the way that you have continued on, carried on. I know you still have your moments, but how you're there and involved with your kids, and they don't want for anything. Like, you really showed me what strength was. And I think that would have broken a lot of people. And for you, it just made you step up and say, hey, you know, it's terrible what happened. I'm always going to miss her. I'm always going to love her. But this is what I got to do now. This is the role I have to do now. If I have to learn how to do girls' hair, I'm going to do that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you stepped up, bro. And I think out of everything that I can say positive about you, that is probably the best, because that's the one thing I didn't know you. I wasn't sure you had. I knew you was smart. I knew you was a Swiss Army friend. And I knew you was, I don't want to talk like I thought you was weak, but that, what happened, that's a huge loss. And I wasn't sure at the time how you would respond. And just to see you come out of that like you have, man.
Yeah, that's nothing but bars. I mean, that was one of my biggest concerns. I think I didn't know what to say. You know, I was one of the first people you called, right? And then in that situation, I was like, what is he going to do? And I didn't, because I once again, going back to the family thing, I know how we feel about our family, how we feel about our wives, and how much you love Jenica. You know, you guys were one of the people that was like, when I hear people talk about their wives, it's rare you hear people talk about their wives the way we talk about ours. And so I'm like, I don't know what he gonna do. Like, you know, and you've said it on the show, you know, she pulled you out of depression. She saved your life, right? And I'm like, what are we going to do? I don't know if the pandemic wouldn't happen, I probably would have been in Birmingham like twice a month, you know, because I was just that worried about you. And but you, like Byron said, showed us that. And I think I tell you that all the time. Not only did you just, like, you know, there's resiliency, you grew and you came out of it just a better person. You know, there's some people that just survive. And, you know, I've seen parts of you that I like Byron said, I didn't know existed. You know, he said it would have broke people. Probably would have broke me. I'm not going to lie. It probably would have broke me. Yeah. But you, and I think speaking to your character and how you are being that Swiss Army friend for so many other people, that your village came to support you, because you have loved ones. You know, if to know Rizzy is to love Rizzy. And if you have a problem with Rizzy, you probably have a problem with yourself. And I'll just leave it at that. So,
yeah, man. No, I definitely appreciate that, man. Because it was. I mean, we're talking about it now. You know, you talk about how she saved me and pulled me out of depression. But, you know, I went right back there after, right? And it was y'all. It was checking on me. It was my mom moving in so that I'd have help and just have somebody here. Like, my mom was like, nope, you ain't doing it by yourself, right? Like, all of that, man. The kids, right? And I tell everybody that, you know, I get these random DMs from people who lose a loved one or something, and they ask me, you know, how did I get through it, or what they can do, or whatever. And I'll just tell the listeners out there, man, it's really, you just got to, one day at a time, push forward, and really concentrate on what you need to continue to do, right? Some people have to go back to work. Some people can't go back to work, right? You got to lean into the kids. I went back to work, I think, after 3 weeks. And, you know, my job was like,
what are you doing here?
Do you really need to be here? I was like, I got to be here. I need something to get my mind off of it, right? I need a reason to get up and get out of the bed, because if I don't have a reason, I'll sit in the bed all day long and I won't move, right? So, like, I had to do it. And then, especially at the time, because it was COVID and we had shut down. So the kids weren't going to school. It was like literally nothing. And I was like, I need something to make me move. And so, you know, it's that one day. Once you do it one day, you do it again, and you could do it again, and you just kind of push through it, man. But no, I appreciate it, Buff. I mean, that's again why we love each other, right? Like why I love y'all, because y'all were there and y'all were gonna be there. And Bert, when you say you were gonna be there every other weekend, like I felt that. I knew that y'all would. I mean, I remember at one point y'all were like plotting out who could come, like what weekends type thing, to check on me type stuff.
Z and I really had a conversation. Like we put plane tickets in our budget. Like that was just that serious, because she knew it, you know, and you know her relationship with Jen, and she knew what you meant to her and how what she meant to you, and it's just like, yeah, do what you got to do. But the pandemic and that just made it harder, and that made me gain so much more respect for you too, because I'm like, you can't even go out and just have a drink and just relax. It's just like, Nick, I'm here, I'm here 24/7, right. And you know, the kids can go out and like we're in this house. We're at ground zero, so. But no, you guys are great friends. I mean, do we have another question? We're going to wrap it up for today.
We're at an hour, so yeah. Might as well just wrap it up.
So we'll do it. We'll go backwards. You know, we'll close it out. No, let's go the regular way. Let's keep it, and I'll end the show with what I want to say.
All right, so one big thing, we talked about family and me being there. Most of the listeners probably know I coach my son's soccer team. And shout out to the 10U Nukes. They actually had a tournament over the weekend. We ended up placing second. But it was a hard-fought weekend, man. I'm so proud of them. They came out there. They did what they needed to do. Everybody was involved. They just cheered for each other, loved on each other. It was a good weekend for youth sports, just because even though they didn't get first place, they walked out of there with their heads held high. It was really competitive, and I'm just super proud of them. So shout out to them, man. And that's really all that I got, man.
Oh, wow. Okay. So a few things. One, you may not have won the $1.3 billion Powerball like someone did, but I mean, $10,000 isn't bad. And if you want $10,000, I want you guys to know that Tulsa, Oklahoma is offering $10,000 for you to move and work there. So they're looking for people to relocate there. And, you know, if you feel like it's worth 10 G's, check it out. Look it up. We talked a little bit about Baltimore last year. And just one more thing on the bridge, because we have, at times, rightfully so, been critical of police. But I just want to give a shout out. We've specifically been critical of Baltimore police. But I want to give a shout out to Baltimore police, because among the whole bridge thing, it's been reported that because you got to keep in mind, that bridge, it collapsed in the middle of the night. I think like around 1 in the morning. So it's pitch black. So if you didn't know about it, like you're on your way to cross that bridge, and it takes time to get word out and stuff. There were cars on their way to the bridge, and once police got word, they hurried up immediately on both ends of the bridge and stopped even more cars from possibly driving to their death. And so I think that's worth shouting them out. You can say, hey, that's their job, but look, man, not everybody's competent at their job, and they save lives, which is what we kind of expect police to do. So I think they deserve it all. Get props at Baltimore Raven games, Oriole games, whatever. Shout out to them.
No, I was saying good job, because, you know, we are in today's society super critical of the police. And a lot of times when you say it's their job, we have seen times when officers, the biggest thing is when they're not doing their job. And not even just like police brutality and all that stuff. It's the easy thing. You under stressful situations when there's limited information. Yes, the boat crashed and maybe some people had that information, but you don't know what that means. You don't know if that's the beginning of something bigger, if this is a terrorist plot or anything like that. So for people to step up, it reminds me of that school shooting where they were talking about the peace officer that worked there that kind of almost like abandoned his post, right? It's just like he's trained to do this. That sounds good until it's a massive firefight and, you know, it's people panic. You can train all your life, but when the bullets start flying, the bridges start falling, you know, whatever, you don't know how you're going to react. So to the guys the women and the men who, you know, risked their lives and did what they were supposed to do the right way, you know, thank you.
Agreed. And the last thing I want to speak on is we frequently speak on how you should get out of toxic relationships. And I just want to be open and honest with the listeners. I was in a 22-year relationship with Sprint. And, you know, we had some good times. And then they got taken over by T-Mobile. And, you know, it's just like once they turned it to T-Mobile, man, it got real toxic. And I didn't want to leave them. I just didn't want to physically do the legwork to switch. But I finally switched to Verizon. Oh, my God. So much better. I've never had a signal in the basement of the Capitol building in my entire life. I literally sent a text to Tablet and said, hey, guess what I'm texting you for? The basement of the Capitol. You know, like all these
dead spots. Is that secret code for something?
On my way home.
Are you in trouble?
No. So I just want to remind people, you don't have to stay in a toxic relationship. You get out. Okay, you do what you need to do to get out. 22 years I was with them, and I found the courage and the strength to get out. So when a situation turns toxic, it doesn't matter how much longevity you have. If it turns toxic, you get out. Like I'm
proud of you.
Oh, this is about to be the new Me Too movement. Ferb about to leave the Cowboys. You leaving T-Mobile.
It's okay to change, man. It's okay. That's all I got.
So that's under wraps. You know, that's a secret, you know. I can't tell my new sneaky link team. So a couple of things. I really wanted to get into this, but we really don't have time. So Spring Fling 2024 Mobile owes me nothing. I wasn't there, but the pictures and the commentary had me rolling. Apparently, it was the best worst event ever. And it's a lot of going back and forth about
where can I go to?
Oh, just pick Facebook. It's a whole parking, seating, everything was, you know. The outfits, and there's a whole thing going about how people are dressed, and people are going back and forth. People wore things that might be called questionable based off of their outfit and size and all that stuff. So it's pure comedy. Secondly, you guys talked about me being a family man. I'm gonna come clean. We'll start with saying, anybody who wants to get in shape, Peloton is where it's at. But don't get caught up in the hype. I got caught up in my male ego fueled me to think I was in better shape than I was. So I've done a couple of beginner's ride and, you know, finished really high up there. And I was like, okay. And I'm not stupid. I wasn't going to jump to an intermediate. They got this thing called advanced beginners. So I do an advanced beginner's course. And it wasn't that it was hard. It was just, there was more competition. And me being me, I like to compete. And so my goal was finish in the top 10. And when I got to the top 10, top five. And the closer I got to that top five, that top three looked very attainable. I hit top three, but I died. And I mean, if anybody who's like, been a serious rider, so I did, and it was a 30-minute workout. I finished almost, I think I did 8.87 miles in 30 minutes, something like that. And Peloton just takes it all to a whole nother level with resistance and cadence and all that stuff. But anybody who's like ever ridden seriously, you know, when you first start riding, you get off your bike and wherever you get off your bike, you're there for the next 15-20 minutes. So I laid on the side of the Peloton for about 15-20 minutes, made my way upstairs, laid on the floor next to my bed about 10 minutes. And somewhere in between that, I locked the door to the garage, and my wife doesn't have a key to the garage. And so when she called me, I'm upstairs, her and the kids were outside, and she needed me to let her in. There was a brief moment where I thought my wife and kids were about to belong to the streets. Because I'm like, I don't got it in me. Like, I really consider, like, yeah, you belong to the streets now. Like, I couldn't make it. it took a lot. I just haven't made me. So, like, I almost abandoned my family off of a workout. So, my bad. And since you guys were talking well of me and how I approach my family life, I just want you to know that, yeah, I almost gave it up that fast.
That first workout, when you get a new workout equipment, it's bad.
Now, it was in the first.
My brother did the exact same thing.
Yeah, it was just like, you know, and I felt better than I thought I would the next day. So I got to work out in. I got to get a workout in later today. And last but not least, kind of closing out what you were talking about, Byron. So, and I'm not going to get into the names and specifics, but we here in Houston, we lost a younger brother this past week to suicide, right? We don't have all the details around the circumstances, but we found him behind the frat house. They found him behind the frat house. He had committed suicide. And I don't want to get into the details, but it was more so we're having serious conversations about mental health. And we talked about this in our frat meeting this past Friday. And for anybody that knows us, you know, Rising are both men of Omega, Q's, whatever you want to call us. And our motto is friendship is essential to the soul. And I always question brothers about it because we focus so much on friendship, which is a great thing. Even in this conversation, we talk about friendship. But I was challenged that to be, you know, the true meaning of the motto is about it being essential to your soul and being able to be a true friend. And the difference in just being a friend and that true friend, and you never know what somebody's going through, and you never know what somebody needs to hear those kind words and hear how much they mean to other people and hear those things that might be, and not saying this is the case, it could be a life or death situation. It could be the difference in that. You know, when you don't think anybody's watching you, you don't think anybody's caring for you. So I challenge everyone to, you all say, make sure people get their flowers. You know, tell the people you love that you're there for them. And if they ever need to talk, you know, and then sometimes spark the conversation. Ask the right questions. Ask what's going on. And I'm specifically talking to men right now. Ask what's going on. You know, you never know what somebody needs to talk about. Encourage them to get help. You know, I think it's for whatever reason, we've been conditioned to think that just talking to the people around us can solve all our problems. And there's some problem they probably can solve or help with the majority of them. But there's some things we're not equipped to handle. You know, that conversation we have might talk Risey off the ledge today and make him feel a little better because we had a drink or something like that. But tomorrow that mentality, that idea can creep right back in his head. You know, there were several people, and this is not the first time I've seen this in a suicide situation where somebody's like, I just talked to him. I just talked to her. We were just joking 2 days ago. And it's like, is there anything we could have done or could have picked up on? And that's why suicide prevention courses and stuff are so huge, and talking about those things are so huge. But mental health is huge. It's big. We need to continue to talk about it. We need to be true friends. We need to dive deeper. Don't make it shallow. Find that person you can confide in. Find that person that, you know, have those tough conversations. You know, just don't talk about the superficial stuff. Check on the strong ones. Check on the weak ones. Check on your true friends. So, and then last but not least. We lost a giant in my chapter this past week, Dr. Roscoe Hightower. He was the advisor. He's Spring 85, Epsilon Psi. He was the advisor when I was a Bacillus. Really, if I ever could think of anybody that was a mentor to me, and it would have been him. He was a hard to love asshole with a bunch of wisdom. If that makes sense. He was that old school guy that pushed you, challenged you, didn't sugarcoat anything, but he's going to challenge you to be the best you. He's one of the people that he's probably the biggest reason I finished strong my last couple of years at FAM. He's the biggest reason I refocused on education and my academics and stepped down from being the boss list, which is the president of our chapter. And so for that, I thank you. I don't think I would have be the person I am today without that influence and that challenge, even though I didn't see it then and didn't appreciate it then. You know, as I got older, I talked about it more. And even with his passing, it just really hit home. So we lost a giant to brother Roscoe Hightower. You'll be missed to the brother because I don't want to say his name out loud right now because of, you know, everything's going on. You will be missed. And to anybody who needs to talk to somebody, please find help. Please go check on your strong friends. With that being said, three brothers, no sense. Six rules of podcast. Listen, like, share, subscribe, comment. And most importantly, listen again. Talk to you next week.